Thank you, Miss Linda. Thank you so much. Well, good morning, church. It's so good to see you this morning. How are we doing? Excellent. Let's stand together. I want to welcome those watching online. If you're a guest, thank you for choosing to worship with us this morning. There's a QR code on the screen and in the pew in front of you. If you'll scan that just so we can get to know you a little bit better. At the end of the service, we have a gift for you in our welcome center. But we've come to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords this morning. Amen? Amen. So let's sing together. Rise up and praise Him.
Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the people of God sing His praise all over the land. Everyone in the valley, come and lift your voice. All those on the mountaintop, be glad and shout for joy.
Somebody around you this morning.
As we continue in worship, let's sing about how much we adore Him this morning. All right, let me hear you.
Joyful, joyful, we adore Thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before Thee, opening to the sun.
Call on him this morning as our Lord and Savior. I don't know, church, I didn't hear that. Are you thankful that we can call him as our Lord and Savior this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Yes, because we can call on him no matter what's. Yes, give him a praise offering. You can, that's okay. Listen, it's all right. Give him a praise offering this morning. He is the one who saved us. He is the one who loves us unconditionally this morning, church. So no matter what you're going through, know that he is the glorious one.
Are lifted high, our hearts are bowing in reverence, and we're surrounded by the glory of your presence.
With every creature, every tongue, we're lifting our voice to the glorious one.
Glorious one. one, glorious one, light of the world, you outshine the sun, King of all kings, eternity sings, glorious one, glorious one, light of the world, you outshine the sun, King of all kings, eternity.
Together. Let's proclaim it.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before His throne. We will worship Him in righteousness. We will worship Him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to Him we give.
Seated, yes.
The next 3 days could set our trajectory to change the next 30 years of your marriage.
We are here because we have hopes, dreams, and desires for our marriage. Maybe if we let God's design inform our dreams and expectations, we could experience what our heart truly longs for.
Weekend to Remember is the perfect opportunity to just get away and connect.
It's a getaway with a purpose.
Weekend to Remember is one of the most valuable things that you can do with your time as a couple.
We see God work in the weekend, and it's always we walk away going, wow.
We had a new beginning. We had a chance to start over, and we have never gone back.
Amen. I had a Sunday school teacher years ago. Well, it was a husband and wife. And after the wife would teach, the husband would say, what she's trying to say is, well, what this video was trying to say is that there is a marriage retreat on November 10th through 12th. And we would love to invite you to come. Even if your marriage is in a good place, we invite you. My wife Kelly and I are going, along with several other couples, but it's a great weekend to get away with other believers, to grow in your marriage, to be encouraged, and to fellowship with other Christians. So if you're available, you can go to our church website, and you can sign up and find out more information. But we hope that you will join us for a weekend to remember, November 10th through the 12th. But I'm grateful that every week in this place, we have a time of prayer. It's a time where we can just humble ourselves before an almighty God and ask Him to lift us up. Maybe you're watching today and you're not able to be here in person. You can pray wherever you are, and that can be your altar. But I'd like to invite you, if you feel led by the Holy Spirit, to come and kneel at this altar, or you can stand, or you can stand from your seat, however the Spirit leads. I invite you to come join me as we lift up our prayers together. Would you come pray with me today? May we pray together. God, we have come into your house with grateful hearts and thankful hearts, hearts filled with praise and glory and honor to the only one who's worthy to be praised and glorified, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, we come bowing humbly before you. We give you, Lord, our sin. We give you, Father, our guilt, our pride, our bitterness, our anger, our unforgiveness, our sickness, our pain, our depression, our anxieties, our fears, our addictions. Oh God, we give them to you because we know you are able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to your power that is at work within us. Father, we pray for families that are grieving today and ask that you would comfort them, kiss away their tears of sorrow, and give them a gentle peace. Father, we pray for folks that are in the hospital, recovering from surgeries, facing surgeries this next week. Would you be the great healer, the great physician, and restore their health, that you might be glorified and that people might be saved as a result of your divine power. Father, we pray for folks here battling private pain. It may be a crisis in a marriage or in a relationship. It might be a financial crisis. It may be an issue at school. It may be a problem on the team. I pray, oh God, that whatever's going on, that you would just be in control. And may we give it all over to you, because your ways are better than ours and above ours and higher than ours. Lord, we just pray for what's going on in Israel right now. And we pray, oh God, that you would give wisdom to their leaders and bring peace. And Father, I pray that you would continue to guide our leaders as we respond, Father, in supporting Israel. And Father, we just pray again for families that have lost loved ones and people that are in harm's way. We pray a hedge of protection would be around them. Father, I pray that a hedge of protection would be around us and this church, and around our families and our homes and our schools and our workplaces. Father, we all need you. And we pray for revival and spiritual awakening and renewal. Father, I pray you would wake someone up today spiritually. Maybe they've been in a spiritual drought and they've been longing for things of the world that have not been able to satisfy what only you can satisfy. So, Father, may we hunger and thirst after you today and ask that you would quench our thirst with living water that causes us never to thirst again. And, Father, we just pray again that if there are folks that have never given their heart and life to you, this would be the day of salvation for someone or for a Christian to renew their faith. Father, we just ask that you would continue to have your way. Would you sing, Father, and play through our choir and instrumentalists in a moment. And Father, speak through your servant and through your word prepare our hearts. And I pray you would speak in and through me, God. We love you, Father, and we just, again, have already committed this service to you. In the strong name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bible with you, would you turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3? And as you're doing that, I'm grateful that our choir will be coming back to lead us after the reading of God's Word. Thank you all for being here today, and I'm grateful for all the beautiful music that we've shared together today. Begin with verse 1 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. This is the word of the Lord, and blessed be the name of the Lord.
Heading for that jubilee out there in the sea.
Amen. Thank you all for leading us. I'm waiting for Happy Goodman now to come out singing Jubilee. You're invited to this gospel Jubilee. So grateful that you're here. Always like to share a little humor to hopefully get you ready to hear something more important. And this is a true story. You know, sometimes I tell you a little joke or a little funny, and you're like, yeah, I don't know about that. Well, this actually happened. This past week, I was making some hospital visits, and as I went to get on an elevator over in Lexington at a hospital, an elderly gentleman got on the elevator with me at the same time. He had a long gray beard, and I must just have a sign on me or something that says, I need a good joke or something. Because this elderly gentleman looked at me without missing a beat. He said, well, what do you call a bunch of ducks that rob banks? And I said, I don't know. He said, rubber duckies. True story. We went down to the first floor, have a great day, and walked on. But that was it, you know. He knew that I needed to share that with him. I thought it would quack you up, but it didn't work. It didn't work. Have you ever heard someone say, or maybe you've even said, I'm just not in a good place? Just recent days, I've had several people to say to me, I'm not in a good place. There was one that said, I'm not in a good place mentally. They were battling depression and being really down, and they said, pray for me. I'm not in a good place. I spoke with someone else that said to me, pray for me. I'm not in a good place. And they were not in a good place emotionally because they were grieving over the loss of a loved one. And they said, I'm really struggling. Someone that had been a caregiver for their loved one for a couple of years, and they passed, and they said, I'm really not in a good place. Pray for me. Then another one said, pray for me, because they weren't in a good place relationally. And maybe they were having some struggles in their marriage, and they asked for prayer. And maybe that's you today, or maybe you can relate. Maybe you're not in a good place financially today. Maybe you're not in a good place physically. Maybe there's some health issue to cause you not to be in a good place. Maybe you're not in a good place in dealing with an addiction. It's been rearing its ugly head, and it's been getting the best of you, and you're just not in a good place. Others maybe are battling some kind of sin in your life, and as a result, it's caused you not to be in a good place. Or it's possible you're here today, and you're not in a good place, but as a result, it's been causing you to go to some places that aren't very good. Some places, as a matter of fact, that are bad. There's evil there. There's wickedness there. There's coldness there. There's no warmth of the Spirit of God. And you know it's not a good place for you to be, but yet you continue to go to this place. You know, in our scripture reading today, the Christians at Thessalonica were not in a good place. As a matter of fact, they were in a place of fear and a place of suffering. Paul was writing them because the church at Thessalonica was being persecuted, and they were suffering as a result of their faith in Christ. And ironically, Paul, when he was writing this letter to the church at Thessalonica, he wasn't in a good place either. He was in Corinth, but he was being persecuted as he was writing to the Christians in Thessalonica who were being persecuted. And so neither one of them were in a good place. But yet Paul wrote to encourage these believers, to ask them to continue to keep serving the Lord and keep following the Lord. He was trying to encourage them in their faith and in their suffering. And he was also trying to exhort the church to keep on working until the Lord returns. There had been some misinformation that was given to some of these believers that the Lord had already returned, they thought. And so many of them had stopped working. Some were just mooching off of the wealthy, and they weren't wanting to work. And so Paul was telling them, this isn't true. The Lord hasn't returned yet. You keep on working, and you keep on serving until the Lord returns. And so maybe you're here today, and you find that you're not in a good place. Our country and our world isn't in a good place right now. I mean, one only has to turn on the TV or social media to see what's going on in Israel. It's heartbreaking. It's very difficult to watch innocent lives that are being killed and homes destroyed and buildings and businesses destroyed. And you might say, well, that's over there. That's not here. Well, it should concern us here for what's going on over there. Those are God's people. And we're God's people, so we should be concerned about what's going on. And you say, well, I'm not at war, but I guarantee you, some of you are in spiritual warfare right now. Some of you are going back and forth with something that's getting the better of you, and you're ready to maybe just tap out and say, I surrender, I give. And maybe that's what you need to do to the Lord, to say, I tap out. I surrender it all to you because I can't do this on my own. So where are you right now? Do you think you're in a good place spiritually today? Or do you find yourself a million miles away from where you believe God wants you and wants me to be? I pray that in this scripture today, these verses that we shared, Paul will give you and me some practical, applicable words to apply to our daily lives, no matter where you are. You might be here and you say, I'm in a great place. I couldn't be in a better place. I've been in the best, this is the best place I've been in years. And if that's the case, praise the Lord. I think we're in a great place in this church today, don't you? I don't know anywhere else I'd rather be right now than in God's house, worshiping with God's people. And I hope that you're glad that you're here. This isn't 30-minute nap time. That you want to be in God's house, worshiping and praising the only one who's worthy to be praised. But in this scripture, he gives us some practical words. And the first thing, whether we're in a bad place or you think you're in a good place, is that we need to be praying. In verses 1 and 2 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul said, as for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray that the message of the Lord would spread rapidly. And pray for us that we would be delivered from wicked and evil people. Look, I think it is very moving and humbling to see Paul, this giant of faith, admitting that he needed prayer and he was encouraging others to pray. May we never be so prideful that we think we don't need to pray, that we don't think we need a greater strength than our own, that we don't think that we need a greater power than our own. And I love the fact that William Barclay, a Bible commentator, said it's very difficult to dislike someone who asks you to pray for them. Would you agree with that? Pray for me, would you? It's very difficult to dislike someone when they ask you to pray for them. And that's exactly what Paul was doing. He was saying, pray that the message of the Lord would spread rapidly, like a racing, running term, that it would spread quickly to others. And be honored as it was with you, that these folks at Thessalonica received the message of Christ lovingly and openly. And then he said, and pray for us that we will be delivered from wicked and evil people. The term that Paul used for wicked there, the Greek word, means out of place. Wickedness is always out of place. There's no place where wickedness should prevail in our lives, in our homes, in our relationships, in our schools, in our community, in our country, in our world. There's no place. Wickedness is always out of place. And yet, Paul was encouraging prayer. We need prayer that the message would spread. That's what he said in Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. He said, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. That's actually Colossians 4, verses 2 and 3. And so we are to devote ourselves to prayer. And pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message. So he was saying, look, we need to pray. Pray that the word of God will spread. And pray that we would be delivered from these wicked and evil people that were trying to inflict harm on God's people. That's why he said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the saints or the Lord's people. Look, we're constantly under attack. Evil is so prevalent around this, and we are to pray. Some of you are here and you say, well, I don't know how to pray. You pray just like you're talking to your best friend, because that's what he is. He's our best friend. You just speak in your own word. You don't have to dress it up and thee, thou, and whether thou goest, and henceforth. You just be you and talk to God. I shared at the early service years ago in the chapel across the street, we went through the Prayer of Jabez. It was a little book called The Prayer of Jabez by Bruce Wilkinson that actually is found in First Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10, right in the middle of all this genealogy. Boom, there's a beautiful prayer. I committed to pray that prayer every day since then, and I have. And I have challenged some of you who were there to pray it every day. And since, I've asked you to pray it since we shared it recently. And that's what I think the Devoted Women's Conference talked about it last year. I add this to my daily prayers every day. This isn't the only thing I pray. But if you want a good prayer to pray, then you can pray this prayer found in 1 Chronicles 4, chapter 10. I pray it for myself, for my wife, for my children, for my whole family, for this church family, for all of our ministries, for all of our staff. Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And some say keep me, translations say keep me from evil. Would you commit to pray that prayer every day and watch how God will work in your life? Doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect, hunky-dory. But to pray that prayer, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory, our area of influence. Let your hand be with me because we can't do it on our own. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm or evil so that I will be free from pain. That's a wonderful prayer and a powerful prayer. And through the years, I've had people that have called me that have not been in a good place, and they've asked for prayer. I've maybe shared this with you before. Years ago, I had one of my former youth. I was a youth minister before becoming a pastor, and I had a former youth who was off at college, and they called me in the middle of the night one night. It was like 2:30 in the morning. I was kind of groggy, and I answered the phone. They said, Todd. I said, yes. They said, pray for me. I said, I was kind of waking up, and I said, what's going on? And said, they're at the door. And I said, who's at the door? And said, evil is at the door. Please pray for me. They're knocking right now. And I could hear people beating on their door and said, please pray for me. So I began to pray. I didn't even know what was going on, but I know one thing. This person was not in a good place. And they said evil was knocking at the door. Ironically, years later, when we were at the little church, I had one of our members to call me again in the middle of the night. If you want to call somebody in the middle of the night, you can call me or call Sean or call somebody. Where is he? He's not here somewhere. Cole Sean, I'll give you his number after the service. But anyway, this person called me very similar and said, Todd. And I said, what is it? And they said, pray for me. It's so wild that it was a similar story, and said, pray for me because evil people are at my door. And you could hear people yelling, saying to let me in. There's evil people knocking at my door. Now, I hope and pray that you've not had evil knocking at your door, but it's possible you're here this morning and evil has been knocking at your door. It may be in this form or this form. It may not have been in the form of a person, but evil has been knocking at your door. And so Paul had prayed that you would pray that we would be delivered from wicked and evil people. And then the second part of verse 2, he said, for not everyone has faith. Not only are we to pray, but we are to put our faith in the Lord. And when he said, not everyone has faith, he didn't say this sarcastically or cynically. He said it sorrowfully. Not everyone has faith. And then he would go on to try to encourage them, because not everyone does have faith. And here's the thing. When faith is offered, it's free will for people to receive. Faith is offered to everyone. Did you know that? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We know that from the very beginning of time, when God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and he said, you can eat of any fruit from any tree except the tree in the middle. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and if you eat of it, you will surely die. We all know the rest of the story. They disobeyed. They ate the forbidden fruit. The relationship was broken. Sin entered into the world, and we've been sinning ever since. And God has also given us the free will to choose him or to reject him since then. There are people, unfortunately, that reject him daily, and praise God, there are people that receive him daily. What about you? Are you rejecting the Lord and his holiness and his righteousness? Or are you receiving him into your heart? You know, the devil tries to mess with us and play mind games. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says, the God, the little g, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of God. Look, the devil not only tries to blind unbelievers, I think he wreaks havoc on believers as well. He plays mind games and lies to you and lies to me. And we're not to allow him to have that victory. We are to give our hearts and lives fully surrendered to Jesus Christ. Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Verse 13 of Romans 10, everyone, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're in a bad place right now, is it possible it's because you've been putting your faith in worldly, earthly, temporary things instead of eternal, holy, godly things? And you know what's really sad is when people start looking for answers in all the wrong places. There are people that look to sorcery or divination or fortune telling, or people that look for witchcraft, or they look for things. You know what that says when you're not looking to the Lord? You're saying, he can't really meet all my needs, so there must be something else. People that are looking to astrology, that's all of the occult, and that's all evil. God is all we need. So we look to him. When you're looking for other things, you're trying to find something that can satisfy your desire, when ultimately we ought to be praying that we can satisfy what God desires. And He wants our complete surrender, and He wants our all given completely to Him. What about you? He wants to meet our every need. People that believe in reincarnation, look, Jesus died on the cross. He rose from the grave, and He resurrected back or ascended back into heaven. We too one day will die and be buried, or however you see fit, whether you want to be cremated or whatever, but our soul rises to be with the Lord. And let me tell you, I'm not coming back as a dog. I'll be in heaven with all my family and loved ones celebrating the goodness of God. We don't have to think there's something else. That dog reminds me of my family member. If they bit you, maybe. But the fact is, we don't have to look to other means. God meets all of our needs. And you need to be sure of that. And I don't say that disrespectfully, because there is an evil presence, and we are to respect the devil. But he's defeated. He's already been defeated. Christ has already won the battle, and He gives us His power through the Holy Spirit. And maybe you're in a bad place right now, and the devil is a liar and a deceiver. John 8:44 says, the father of all lies. Don't let him get the best of you, because some are without faith. But then we get out of this place by persevering through God's strength and His faithfulness, by persevering through God's strength and His faithfulness. And we read that in verse 3, for the Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. And that's what exactly He wants to do. And then in verse 5, it said, may the Lord guide you through God's love and Christ's perseverance. Isn't that beautiful? He wants to guide us and protect us and to strengthen us. Remember, Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to take your stand. David, the psalmist, said in Psalm 23, 4, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And as far as perseverance, I can't think of a better passage than Hebrews chapter 12. Remember, after the honor roll of faith of Hebrews chapter 11, when it talks about all of God's people by faith, by faith, by faith, then Hebrews chapter 12, he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, keeping our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and is now sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Isn't that a great passage? When we think about what Jesus has done for you and for me, then we can't stay in that bad place, because He gives us the strength to keep on keeping on, even when life deals us a bad hand. I want to close by sharing with you, this past week I had a very distressing phone call from one of our members, and they were weeping openly. And I was like, what is it? What is it? Everything okay? And they had lost their loved one the night before. Their sister had passed away the night before. I said, I'm so sorry. And they said, and then today got the word that my four-year-old granddaughter has leukemia, has been diagnosed with leukemia. And I said, I'm so, so sorry. You know what she said? She said, I'm not mad at God. She said, I trust in him, and ultimately it's going to be okay either way. But she said, I don't know how people get through these tight things without faith in the Lord. So there's no way I could get through it without my faith in Jesus Christ. And that's Dorothy McIntyre, one of our members who shared that request. And as Kelly and I went to visit with her and her family at the funeral home, she just continued to give God praise and said, I'm trusting in him, and I know everything will be okay. What about you? Some of you are here, and you came in a bad place. And I'm talking right now in your life, spiritually, maybe emotionally, mentally, however you came in. But you don't have to stay that way. You don't have to stay there. Aren't you tired of being mad at the world? I know of some people that are so angry with God, and they're supposed to be Christians. They don't want to come to church. They don't want to be around other believers. They would rather stay in that bad place than to be set free. Sometimes that becomes our identity, doesn't it? That people just know us as that person. That we're down and we're all the time doom and gloom and everything's bad. I don't want to be that way. I know you don't. You want to let the Lord just take that from you and experience the peace and the joy that he offers you and me. And I pray today that if you're here and you don't know Jesus, why not today? Why not place your faith in the Lord? My greatest joy is to see someone come to know Christ, that someone would give their heart and life fully surrendered to him and say, I've been running from you, I know what I need to do, but I wanted to get my house in order, get things cleaned up first. That's the devil's lie too. We come to him just as we are, and he does the cleanup. We just come as we are. We don't have to have it all figured out through the Holy Spirit. He helps us figure it out and gives us the strength to live for him. Maybe you're a Christian. You've gotten off track. You've grown angry. You've grown complacent. You've grown selfish. You've grown prideful. And you don't want to admit that you were wrong. That's one of the most difficult things for us to do, is to admit when we're wrong. And maybe today you need to say, I was wrong, Lord. I was so wrong. Please forgive me, and I need to make this wrong right with a brother or a sister or a co-worker or a classmate or a fellow Christian. I need to make it right. I'm going to make it right. Or maybe you've been looking for a church. I love this church. You hear me say it every week. This isn't a perfect church. I'm not a perfect pastor. But one thing I guarantee you, we serve a perfect God. And there's no fault in him. And if you keep your eyes on him, you'll never be disappointed. If you're looking at me, you're going to be disappointed. You're looking at someone else around you, you'll be disappointed. But if you're looking at him, there's no fault in him. What about you today? Wouldn't you like to leave here in a better place than how you came in? You can do that even now as we pray together. Father, I pray right now in the stillness of this moment that if there are any folks here today, men, women, young people, even children that have never given their heart and life to you, that this would be the day of salvation for some, for many, or even someone watching today. Maybe it struck a chord like the person at the early service that said, you were talking directly to me today. Well, we know that was the Holy Spirit speaking to them. And Lord, I pray today that if someone needs to ask for your forgiveness and invite you to come into their heart and life to be their Lord and Savior, that today would be the day of salvation for someone. Lord, maybe there's a Christian that's gotten off track and they've been going through the motions or haven't been doing anything at all. And today they want to recommit or renew that vow and say, I'm ready to let go and let God have control. Or Lord, again, maybe there are folks that have been looking for a church family. You're all fellow strugglers here. Not a single one of us have it all figured out, but we know if we walk arm in arm and we support and love one another and pray for one another with your divine power and strength, we get through it. until one day we get to be with you in glory and in heaven. So, Father, I just pray that you would move us right now, and we would just know how much you love us and that you forgive us. And may we show you how much we love you by committing to you even now. In the strong name of Jesus, amen. I'm going to invite you, if you're in this place, to stand as we sing this song of commitment. It'd be my privilege to pray with you, to talk with you, however the Holy Spirit's leading. Won't you come as we sing?
Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you.
That you would come and worship with us again. If you're a first-time guest, go by the Welcome Center and pick up a small gift as a token of our love and appreciation. If you should have questions about the church, contact me, any of our staff. It'd be our privilege to speak with you, pray with you about any commitment or decision. And then don't forget all the activities tonight. There's children's activities, there's youth activities. We have small group discipleship, coffee and connections, a lot of great opportunities to grow in the faith and connect with other believers. And then a great time on Wednesday at 5, delicious meal downstairs and prayer meeting here at 6. We've been having some awesome prayer services. When you guys set up more tables and chairs for folks that are coming in on Wednesday, that's a good sign. So we invite you to come join us. Then don't forget the craft fair next Saturday over at the Cross Center. How many of y'all saw that on TV during the UK game last night? If you're on local Frankfurt cable, They showed the commercial during the UK game, and it was a craft fair. Then it said, come visit. So it was a great event. I know you all didn't feel like watching any commercials after watching that game. But anyway, but thank you all so much for being here today and allowing the Spirit of God to be in this place. I hope you will leave here in a better place than how you came in. Sean, if you would lead us in a song right now.
Let's sing this hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I. One more time. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I am.
Pray, O God, we know that you are great, and I pray that we would leave here following you, serving you, living for you, because greater is you that is in us than he that is in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.